Welcome to the Rancor's Brothel, the only podcast where it's okay to use your Wolverine Pez dispenser while recording it, because that's what I'm doing. I'm your co-host, Matt.
I'm your co-host, Dustin.
And with us today, hang on, it's a strawberry lemon. It's delicious Pez. With us today is a guy from our pilot episode, or from, not the pilot, but from our second episode ever.
How you doing? I'm Drew.
How you doing, Drew? Back in the day, we used to do a really stupid shtick where we gave all our guest hosts a nickname. We called you Drewski Booski. Not going to fucking do that.
I appreciate that.
Yeah, because after like the fifth time of doing that, it was stupid as shit. So, turns out, not the greatest idea we ever had.
I'm sure there's plenty of those.
Yeah. Yeah. No comment. Dustin, any comment from you?
No, no comment at all.
Excellent. Gentlemen, we have a big topic today to discuss. It's very poignant this week. It was actually a topic given to me first by Jeff Thorpe, Follow Network superfan. And I wanted to have him on the show as well, but I couldn't get a hold of him today to set it up. So I'm sorry, Jeff. But like right after he sent it to me, then Drew sent to me like, hey, you guys should talk about this. It's like, that's a great idea. So here we are recording the episode. But first, we got a couple things we got to do. Drew, back in the day when you were on the show, we didn't have the segment called Guest Questions. So, nope. Dustin, if you please.
Yes, Drew, who's your favorite superhero and why? Or it could be super villain. Just who's your favorite super and why?
My favorite super?
Mm-hmm.
Could be the superintendent of your apartment building.
That's a tough one.
Could be Kroger's.
Yeah. I think my favorite superhero overall, is the Silver Samurai.
Not a okay. superhero, but he's a soup.
He's a soup. Yeah. Main reason is one, you don't see him that often, which I think is kind of cool. You know, mm-hmm. he doesn't come up in everyday conversation, but it's like every time he shows up, he's doing something totally badass.
Yeah. Right. So as a matter of fact, you were the first person I've ever heard of that would pick the Silver Samurai as your guy.
He's my guy.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So what else? I'm sorry. What else besides that? Like, what of his powers? What of his personality? What attracts you to the Silver Samurai besides his rarity in comic books?
Well, the rarity is the biggest thing. But I think what I like most about him is he's kind of, whenever he decides to do something, he just does it. You know, he doesn't get swayed or, you know, there's never like the dialogue of, hey, don't do this or do this because of this or, you know, whatever. It's, you know, once he's decided, okay, I'm going to kill this person or I'm going to, you know, whatever it is, he just does it and nothing can stop him.
That's awesome.
That's the way Dustin is when it comes to dating women.
Also, yes.
What?
I guess now that I said that, it sounds a little rapey. I'm sorry.
Just a little.
Just a little rapey. My bad.
Sorry about all those women I whacked.
I guess. Oh my lord.
Please quack out the the raped part.
give me a quack.
Quack.
Now give me a couple of them because you said rape several times. Oh, see, I need another one. I just said it.
Quack, quack.
Quack. I'm not quacking that out. I just wanted you to quack. Quack.
I just like quacking.
Oh my God, Drew! Second question. Drew.
Yes.
Yes.
What is your if you could pick one superpower, what would it be and why?
I would have Wolverine's healing factor. Main reason is for those of you that don't know me, I've had 20 surgeries on various parts of my body, and I think it would be awesome to not have to go through that anymore.
Right on.
Yeah.
Well, like, what was the worst recovery from surgery wise?
My absolute worst recovery was right after I got hit during a football practice and had my kneecap split in half.
Whoa!
To the point where my toes were up into like my crotch, you know, my leg reverse direction.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that took that was four surgeries to finally get that completely fixed.
Yowza. Yeah,
that would be the worst one.
Drew, I salute you. If that happened to me, I would have just prayed for the sweet icy relief of death.
I did.
Yeah. I probably would have carried through with it though. Oh my God, that sounds awful.
Yeah, it wasn't a lot of fun.
Like, you sometimes you hear the stories of somebody like their patella like gets out of place and dislodges.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that when I hear that, I'm like, man, I would just kill myself. But Drew, in your shoes, I would literally have offed myself. I would have limped into traffic.
Yeah. I guess I'm just more of a man than you.
I guess you are. Shit. What's the third question? And please, Dustin, don't ask him anything he's going to have a fucked up answer for.
Well, yeah, and then we're just going to stop the show right here. Because I know. Okay.
Yeah, wait, Drew, you want his healing factor so you don't have to have the surgeries, but you're still going to have all the injuries.
But I'm okay with that.
Is numbness an option? Can I just, is numbness a superpower?
I'd give it to you.
Oh.
Just like not the ability to not feel pain.
Yeah, like that villain in one of the Pierce Brosnan Bond movies.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that guy. I'll take that.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
Ugh. Dustin? Save me from myself.
Okay. Drew.
Yes.
If you were in the Star Wars universe and you met Obi-Wan Kenobi, would you fight alongside him or against him?
Drew is racist against Brits. You know that. So that was just a dick move on your part.
I'm feeding him lines here.
Yeah. No, I, Obi-Wan Kenobi, I would fight alongside with.
Okay.
Yeah.
Even if you know that in just a couple, like in an hour into the movie, he's going to give up and just let Darth Vader kill him.
Wait, so in this situation, am I Luke Skywalker? Is that what we're saying here?
No, you're Drew Thomas.
I know. But yeah, no, if I was there and I met Obi-Wan Kenobi and he was fighting some dudes, I would probably join up with him solely based on the bar scene where he cut that guy's arm off.
Sweet.
For like no reason. That
Fair
was
enough.
Awesome.
Fair enough.
You're like, that is awesome. I'm on your side.
And let's also, Ewan this. McGregor was bitching in Moulin Rouge.
That's the first thing Drew tells him. Dude, no, listen, Moulin Rouge, awesome.
Totally bad.
When you sang The Hills Are Alive, I wept. That's poignant since we had that fucking... what's that musical called? God damn it. The Sound of Music. Thank you, Natalie. Since we had The Sound of Music this week on TV, that was on the tip of everybody's tongue this week. Either you two watch it?
Nope.
Never
seen the movie either.
But the movie's all right.
We're talking about the Carrie Underwood, right?
Yeah.
I would like to see it. I wonder if they have it recorded or if it's on demand or something.
I'm sure it is.
I am a huge fan of Carrie Underwood, not simply because she's country or not simply because she's very good looking. right. She's actually one of the musicians that I hold up like in very high regard. Yeah.
Speaking of country musicians that are held in high regard, I just read an article this week that it turns out Taylor Swift is actually a dick.
Really?
Okay.
That as people that have worked for her and concert venues that have had to deal with her were just starting to complain because she was getting big enough. She won that fucking award and Kanye got up on stage.
Yeah.
And so like that credit had been running for years.
Mm-hmm.
And that just now it's finally worn off to the point that people are like, again, they're like, man, she is a fucking dick. So, anyway, I just thought that was interesting. So, boo-boo kitty fuck, Taylor Swift.
She reminds me, yeah, she kind of comes off that way. She always has.
You think so? Because, like, whenever I see her, I remember I saw her on Oprah one time.
Mm-hmm.
And there was, like, this little kid that, I don't know if it was, like, a Make-A-Wish thing or whatever, but she just seemed so gracious and kind. And then she hosted SNL one time, and I really enjoyed her on that. And I was like, this Taylor Swift's a good kid. And then I read one article, and like all the rest of the mindless sheep in America, I'm like, fuck that bitch. Fuck her right in her ear.
Oh, boy.
So, yeah, that's a thing.
That's the thing.
Dustin, what's our next segment, sir?
I don't know. Well, we go to Is it the Versus yet, or Star Wars?
We'll get to that. Star Wars Minute. Yeah, there you go, Star Wars Minute.
Yeah.
Our Star Wars Minute this week is, I just want to talk about Frank Oz. Does anybody know who that is?
Yeah, the puppeteer. He's also in Blues Brothers and things.
Yeah, he's in Blues Brothers, and he also was in Blues Brothers 2000, for the record. Mm-hmm. He's a great director.
He's in a lot of good movies, actually.
Is he?
While you keep talking, I'll look him up.
Oh, no, I got it right here. Okay, he was in... Wow, he was an actor in Superman 3. Huh. That's weird. He was in Trading Places. That's bitchin'.
Really?
Yeah, he directed Dirty Rotten Scoundrels. He directed Little Shop of Horrors. He directed What About Bob?
Mm-hmm.
Fuck me. This is great.
Wow, so like every good movie ever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. I'm sorry, now I'm finding some shitty ones. Stepford Wives. He directed Death at a Funeral, the remake of the British movie. That's pretty cool.
Oh, okay. Right on.
Wow. Okay. Well, Frank Oz was the voice of Yoda in, mm-hmm. what, 5 of the 6 films?
Mm-hmm.
Can anybody tell me who else Frank Oz voiced?
In those movies?
No.
Oh.
In other Jim Henson things. Man, motherfucking... Jim Henson was Kermit the Frog.
All right.
should I name him since I'm looking at it?
Oh, are you looking at it? Okay, then I'll do it. Fuck you.
Okay.
Frank Oz, so every time you watch Empire Strikes Back, he is also the voice of Miss Piggy, Fozzie Bear, Animal, Sam the Bald Eagle, Grover, Cookie Monster, and Bert from Sesame Street. Wow. Bert was fun because Frank Oz and Jim Henson were best friends. And so when they created the characters Bert and Ernie, Frank Oz did Bert and Jim Henson did Ernie.
Oh, right on.
Yeah, so it was just kind of a fun thing there. But there's a really great photo out there, and I put it on the Rancor's Brothel page before, of one day Frank Oz brought Miss Piggy, but he brought another character that he does, maybe Grover, to set with him. And there's a scene of Luke Skywalker on Dagobah with Yoda, Miss Piggy, and like maybe Fozzie or somebody.
Mm-hmm.
It was just kind of a cool thing.
I like the little crossovers like that.
Mm-hmm. It was neat, so I just thought I'd share. Frank Oz is actually just a really decent, good man. He's getting up there in age now. He's 69. He doesn't do the Sesame Street voices anymore. Mm-hmm. But like once... I don't know, every couple months, he does show up on set, and they let him do it.
Really? Oh, cool.
So, occasionally, you'd never tell the difference, because, you know, voice actors and puppeteers are so good at their craft, but every once in a while, you'll find out it's Frank Oz doing the voice of Grover this week, or Bert, or whoever. Mm-hmm. So, it's kind of fun.
Yeah.
So, okay, does anybody know who the Mighty Favog is from Saturday Night Live in the 70s?
No.
Apparently, he was the voice of said character.
The Mighty Favog. Never heard of that.
Favog, F-A-V-O-G. Maybe some of our listeners will know, or I'm sure they can all YouTube it. But I'm curious about that now.
Well, that is interesting. I did not know that.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm looking at the Muppet Christmas Carol right now. We just watched that this weekend. Aw. Mm-hmm. Miss Piggy and Fozzie. Good times, man. Good times.
You sounded a little bit like a, what's his name now? Kermit there, when you said that.
Hi-ho there, Kermit the Frog. I just wanted to let everybody know that my fingers smell like bacon. Yay!
Oh, boy.
Thank you, I'll be here all week.
Sadly.
Oh, he did a voice in Monsters, Inc.
Oh, cool.
Neat. Okay, cool.
And... I'm jealous of these voice actors.
I know. How can they do this shit?
It's got to be the best job ever. Just sit in a room and talk.
There's a movie coming out about that.
Voice acting?
Well, it's about voice actors themselves. Oh, shit. Now I can't even think of it. It was a guy was talking about it on The Nerdist.
Yeah. The guy that was talking about it.
Bender. Bender. Yeah. The guy who does Bender.
Who is that?
So I would think that Drew would be excited about that.
Yeah, Bender is one of my favorite characters of all time.
Yeah, he kickstarted a movie, didn't he?
Mm-hmm. Well, he paid out of it, or like paid out of his own pocket for it.
Oh wow!
and he just wanted to look into the lives of other voice actors and some of the kind of things that they go through on a daily basis. And you don't really get to see the faces of all these voice actors, so I think maybe he wanted to bring them out a little bit into the
John
spotlight.
DiMaggio, that's his name.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
Does it say what the movie's name is?
No, I just remembered his name. I didn't look it up.
Okay.
Sorry. I guess I could do that. Vamp! Deedle-deedle-deedle-deedle-deedle-deedle-deedle-deedle-deedle-deedle-deedle.
Oh, fun fact. I am getting the Dark Knight Returns Part 2, the DVD, from one of my buddies at work.
Yay! What about Part 1?
Well, see, the thing is, his mom bought his son, like, Dark Knight Returns Part 2, thinking it was,
appropriate
cheeky.
For a child?
Yeah, appropriate for a child, like, you know, old school cartoon Batman. and they started watching it, and then they got to the Nazi nipples.
Yeah.
And he's like, whoa, no, this is not happening.
Yeah.
We're getting rid of this movie. And he would, like, go and hide it, and then the kid would go find it. And be like, Dad, can I watch this again? He's like, no, you can't. You can't watch this.
Yeah, can I see the swastika nipples?
Right. He sent it to me in a text today. He's like, hey, have you seen this movie? I'm like, yes. Yes, I have. It's amazing. He's like, I'm giving it to you. And he explained the whole situation.
That's hilarious.
Yeah. Oh, it's this movie's called Behind the Voice Actors.
Okay, it's not on the Wikipedia here. So glad you found that.
Mm-hmm. I think it's going to be pretty darn good. I'm going to probably pick it up. I don't buy a lot of DVDs. That's probably one that I will buy.
He also does a voice of one of my favorite Final Fantasy games, Final Fantasy X. He was the voice of Chief Waka.
Man, that's awesome. I would just love to have my voice all over video games and movies and cartoons and commercials and just everything.
Well, here you go. If you like to hear my voice, you can check me out on Horrible Prequels, where I did my own fucking voiceover work. You can find that at www.youtube.com/followNetworks.
Mm-hmm.
At Follow Networks, we put the FU in fun. not our official slogan.
I like that. I love that.
That's real good.
What's next? What are we doing next here, sir? Discount X-Men, you got any?
Oh, man.
I've got Pez Dispenser Wolverine.
Have I told you about Flamboyo?
He's not discount. He's just delicious.
there's Flamboyo Thief. Did I tell you about him?
Mm-mm. That's a weird name.
Yeah, Flamboyo Thief. He's a really, really good, like, very sneaky thief, and he's very good at getting out of, like captured situations. Like, if he's in the back of a police car, he can very easily slip out without the police even knowing that he's, you know, slipped out. But the thing is, when he's actually making a caper, he's very, very flamboyant about it. Like, if he's on the if he's on the street in, like, you know, Brooklyn, and he's gonna
I'm going to rob this place.
He's like, everybody, I'm gonna steal your. I'm going to steal your wallet. And then he, like, takes the wallet and, like, does cartwheels away.
He skips away.
And he, like,
throwing
he stops and, like,
behind him.
He hugs a police officer, and then he just instantly gets, like, handcuffed. But, you know, of course, the officer will be walking him to the car, and the Flamboyo Thief will be in front of him, but he'll just disappear, and the handcuffs will fall to the ground.
No, even better. Flamboyo Thief is being led by the handcuffs.
Okay.
And he says, excuse me, officer, look. And the officer turns to look, and he just goes, jazz hands! And he shakes his hands in front of the cop's face, and then the cop tries to draw his gun, but he's handcuffed.
That's perfect. So,
hear that, Brian Singer? X-Men Apocalypse. Flamboyo Thief. If you could do that for us, that'd be great. Thank you. Brian Singer, big fan of the shows. Not at all.
No, that's not it.
Nope, I can't verify that.
Since he's not on the list, you can say things like that, and no one's going to know any different.
Yes.
Any other Discount X-Men? Drew, do you have anything?
I wasn't aware of this segment.
Oh, not a listener of the show, Drew, huh? Is that what you're saying?
Well, I've been working 60 hours a week. I don't really have time to do things.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, then. Mm. And, can you hear me playing the world's smallest violin for you? No, I'm sorry. 60 hours a week right before Christmas. I think that's a decent trade-off, sir.
Yeah, except they work on commission and no one's in the store, but I still have to stand there. But that's besides.
Oh, fuck. Where do you work, man? If you don't mind saying. Greg. Damn, nobody's buying fucking TVs for Christmas?
No, we had a nice rush at Black Friday, but since then, not a things come in.
I sold appliances at Sears once during the holiday season.
Yeah.
And guess what people don't buy for Christmas?
Washers and dryers.
Right.
Yeah.
You would get the occasional, like, really, like, chauvinistic man who's like, I'm getting my wife one of them new HE washers for Christmas. And I'm like, okay, I'm not going to point out your fallacy, sir. I'm just going to sell it to you because I need to eat.
Yeah.
God.
Yeah.
Well, very good. Very good. Well, best of luck to you, Drew. H.H. Gregg, where at?
In Maryville, Indiana.
Hey, if you're in Northwest Indiana, head over to the H.H. Gregg in Maryville, Indiana, and ask for Drew Thomas. Come on.
I'd appreciate it.
He love you long time.
Mm-hmm.
Especially in the back room. I'm just kidding. Just kidding. H.H. Gregg, don't sue. Don't sue.
Yeah. He'll be the only cyborg selling you appliances.
Very true.
He's a cyborg?
Yeah. Mostly. I mean, yeah.
Because his kneecap got replaced with a robotic kneecap?
Well, in my left arm.
What?
Yep.
There's nothing electrical in you.
No, there's several electrical things in me.
What?
Yeah. I'm a cyborg.
Shut the fuck up, Drew. Anyway.
Okay.
I reject your reality, sir.
There are, actually, in every one of us, there are electrical things. I mean, we run off of electrical impulses.
Okay, but I mean, not enough to become a cybernetic organism.
Drew is.
No, he's not.
He totally is. Can you see him? Can you prove us wrong right now? Yeah. Yeah. Oh, one more Discount X-Men. One more Discount X-Men.
Okay.
We don't have a name. We don't know where he's from. We don't know what he looks like. But here's the thing. He's he always tells these stories about the things that he did, but he's like real humble about it. But the stories that he tells are – it's just stuff that other actual superheroes have done. But he's like, so, you know, this one time I lifted this U-boat out of the ocean, you know, to save it from getting hit with a bunch of missiles. My red cape was flying in the wind. It's no big deal. Whatever. I did it. You know, it was my job.
You know, one time I flew around the earth backwards to turn time back so my girlfriend wouldn't die. You know, it's no big whoop. You know.
Yeah. One time I was real smart and I had a lot of money, so I built this awesome suit. It flies and it shoots missiles. You know, I pretty much saved America. No big deal, you know.
Well, one time I got really mad and I broke Harlem, because I turned into a giant green rage monster. But no big deal, you know.
Yeah, it's what I do every day. You know, you got to do it. You just got to save people. No big deal. So
that's the name NBD.
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 Gotcha. Man, I know. Brent and I have come up with so many between the last time we talked about this and now, but he'll be disappointed to hear that I haven't.
You two get back together, get them written down, and we'll have plenty of fodder for our next episode. Okay. But perfect. Right now, it's time to talk about the verses of the week.
Yes.
Drew, can you pick a number between 1 and 20?
I'm going to pick number 19.
Number 19. Dustin, before we say what 19 is, who's fighting today?
We these two fellas are very agile. They're both human. They don't have superpowers, right? Neither one of them.
One of them has echolocation.
Okay, so but we've Stan Lee has proven that echolocation is a legit thing that humans can have.
Well, you know what? There is a young man. Not anymore. He died 2 years ago. But there's a young man that at the age of 2 got eye cancer, and his eyeballs had to be removed.
Mm-hmm.
And he, growing up, he developed his own echolocation. He would use tongue clicks
mm-hmm.
and listen to the echo coming back to him. And he could three-dimensionally map out his topography.
Yeah, I think I watched a special on that.
I watched a special on it, too. Sadly, the cancer came back 2 years ago and the kid died at the age of 19, but... I just watched a video on YouTube today of real life superheroes or real life superpowers. And he mm-hmm. was on the list and I was like, oh yeah, I remember watching him on some show. So yeah, I mean, that's a legitimate possibility. I'm not saying that the character you're going to mention does a bunch of but or anything, but, he can still map out his area.
Right on, right on. Our two fellas here are, Daredevil and Batman. And I'm sure this has been talked about before.
I'm sure, but we haven't, so fuck it.
Yeah, we'll see what our take on it is.
So you have Ben Affleck versus Ben Affleck. Got it.
Oh my god, I just realized that. Wow. Yes.
I thought that was your stick, your shtick. No, like when you said it to me earlier, I was like, oh, but okay, Ben Affleck versus Ben Affleck.
It's like Daredevil, Batman, and a douche in a mall.
Which, if you pay attention, in the opening sequence of Mallrats, you know, all the main characters, they all have splash pages, like comics, fake comics drawn about them.
Mm-hmm.
And his is Buttman. Because, you know, he likes to fuck girls in a very uncomfortable place.
Right, yeah, like the back of a Volkswagen.
Thank you, gentlemen. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. We'll be back next week here at the Rancor's Brothel. That's a okay. Chad joke right there.
Yeah. Thanks, Chad.
So, okay. What's number 19? Where's your setting at this week?
Have we done... I just had it here. Have we done Land of Make-Believe yet?
No.
Now, Land of Make-Believe, is that the Mr. Rogers?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
With all the puppets.
Yeah.
With all the puppets and Daniel Tiger.
Oh, and we just talked about Frank Oz, puppets and such. But yeah, I don't think Frank Oz was on that.
And Mr. Rogers is in our fraternity.
Mm-hmm. we had Mr. Rogers versus somebody.
No, they already did that. Remember the Ultimate Showdown? Oh.
Yeah, so he was just going to win by default.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Mr. Rogers is always the winner.
Okay.
Right unless on. He's fighting Matlock. Anyway. That's because Andy Griffith is in our fraternity, too. Anyway. Mm-hmm. Okay, so I guess Batman and... So Bruce Wayne and Matt Murdock are in the land of make-believe because, as we all know... They are both very pervy, and they were putting puppets on their dicks and sticking them through the little holes in the castle, hoping that a child would walk up to shake King Friday's hand, if you know what I'm saying.
What brought you, what took you in that direction?
Well, usually we come up with some stupid scenario of explaining why these people are in where the place they're in. Right. I don't think Bruce Wayne has that kind of imagination anymore. I think it died with his blood-splattered parents.
Okay,
so
maybe Mr. Rogers is bringing these two to the land of make-believe to, like, bring them back to reality.
I mean, they were both out of their... they were both made who they are through the tragic murder of their parents while they were still children. So think of that. It's kind of fucked.
Yes.
You know, they went back and retconned it. That Matt Murdock was actually the boy carrying the four turtles in a glass bowl, and he got hit with the ooze too in his eyes, and that they retconned it that way. Yeah,
wow,
that's a thing. Fucking Daredevil's fault that there's Ninja Turtles in New York. Isn't that fucked up?
That's crazy.
That's insane.
Okay, so we got a fight going on in the land of make believe. It's well lit. So I don't think the blindness is going to be an advantage. It's not like he can make the sun go away.
Yeah. So, in the land of in the land of make-believe, wouldn't there be lots of stage lights?
No, we're in the land of make-believe. We're not on the set of the land of make-believe.
Okay, fair enough.
When we made Sam Jackson fight in Fern Gully Rainforest, it wasn't animated.
Can we say they shrunk themselves and rode the train in, please?
They rode the trolley.
Yeah, please.
No. Stupid.
I do like Matt's explanation better.
Okay, so they don't ride the tram in. They stick their dicks in the hole.
Yeah, that's it. So. Oh, hello, Billy. Come here and shake King Friday's hand. Meow, 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 King Friday. Meow.
Jesus Christ.
King Friday spit on me. Meow. Fuck the fight. This is just more fun.
I feel like they're standing next to each other and they're like, you know, they're making eye contact and stuff like, yeah, we're doing this.
Well, and because to get yourself, like, if you're up against a flat board trying to shove your dick through it, you know, you're kind of off balance. So I picture them linking arms to hold each other up. Instead of fighting, they're helping each other defile children.
Jesus.
Okay, but Bruce Wayne, at the moment of orgasm, let's go. And Matt Murdock falls to the ground and he's like, hey, man, what the fuck? And the fight starts.
Okay. So I would think that as as Daredevil falls down, he doesn't hit the ground. I mean, he does something acrobatic and lands back on his feet.
He does something acrobatic, lands on Bruce Wayne's shoulders and finishes ejaculating.
Okay.
His hair.
As he pulls his member out, but he also pulls out those two like fighting sticks that he's got.
Well, he only really uses one at a time.
Okay.
Cane.
Mm-hmm. Wait, doesn't it come apart into two?
It can.
Oh.
But I mean, it's his blind guy cane.
Okay.
But it has a bunch of other little tricks in it.
Okay.
So you can make it into like nunchucks and a bladed weapon and a grappling hook and all sorts of shit.
Okay.
I'm sorry, I can't get over the cum. There's just cum everywhere now in my head.
All the Muppets, their hair is all like stuck up.
Like literally, like, really messy position. As Daredevil gets into a fighting stance, because he's blind, he slips in his own semen, giving Bruce Wayne or Batman the advantage.
Man, this is a bad idea.
I'm so sorry. I don't know why it all had to go to cum.
Oh yes.
Eventually everything boils down to that.
You ever boiled cum? Is that what you're saying, Drew? That's disgusting. Yeah, that's a disgusting man.
Exactly what I'm saying.
Okay. Forget all the cum. They're in the land of make believe. They're fighting. Yes. What's gonna happen, gentlemen?
I think Batman works well, I was gonna say he works better in the dark. Do you think that Batman would have a problem with brightly lit areas?
No, he's not a real fucking bat.
No, I'm saying whenever you live in the dark for like a long, long time, you sleep during the day lots of times. Like whenever you go out into the sun, your eyes are going to be affected somewhat. It's going to take a while for it to readjust, right?
I mean, yeah, but he's Bruce Wayne in the daytime. It's not like he's Bane, like, you know.
No, he was out to the darkness. I was born to it.
Jesus.
Oh shit! I keep turning around to see if Natalie's laughing. Stone cold face. She's just so pissed now.
Speaking of stone cold, did she listen to the heel angle?
No, I didn't. Kidding. It was hilarious this week.
Yeah, they did a pretty good job
of inserting you saying stone the Texas Rattlesnake, stone cold fucking Steve Austin. Beautiful.
We did the same thing for Flowers the episode before that.
Oh.
We got him. I dropped in randomly. I dropped him in. Dropped a clip of him in saying "ha." It was. You have to listen to it. It's good stuff.
It is just good.
Anyhow.
Back to the fight.
Yes. Back to the fight. Hand to hand. I would say Daredevil is slightly more advanced.
But that's just the thing. Daredevil didn't go take lessons from fucking, you know, League of Assassins and shit.
Mm-hmm.
He was a blind guy. He just figured the shit out on his own.
Yeah, but I think that considering how well he did figuring it out and like the whole echolocation thing, I bet his senses are like just slightly more advanced.
They are more advanced. Did you read anything about Daredevil before you picked him?
Well, no, I'm saying they are more advanced, right?
They are, exactly. And Batman, who doesn't kill, carries non-lethal weapons. And one of the non-lethal weapons that we know is a possibility for Batman because it exists in the real world are sonic disruptors.
Mm-hmm. Oh. Yeah, that's...
He turns one of those on. Matt Murdock might be a little fucked.
More than a little.
Yeah. Okay. That's a good point. Hmm. Is there anything that Matt Murdock could do against Batman that would bring down some of his defenses or his offenses?
Well, absolutely. Hopefully before Batman realizes that Daredevil's blind, Daredevil would have gotten in there and gotten in the quick hits. And I mean, honestly, in all honesty, Daredevil, like, moves so fast that, like, people don't understand that he's blind. Criminals that he's subduing don't understand that he's a blind guy.
Mm-hmm.
So, Batman is the world's greatest detective. How long do you think it takes him to figure out that the guy he's fighting is blind?
I bet it would take him a good amount of time if Daredevil showed no...
if he had no outward signs of it, yeah.
Yeah, right.
So, let's just say 5 minutes.
Okay.
Takes five minutes for Batman to figure it out.
5 minutes is a long time, and if Daredevil's that fast, he can get a lot of hits in.
Yeah.
And I mean, he's going to be able to at least defend him or like fend himself off or fend off Batman long enough to maybe pinpoint a critical location on Batman's person.
Mm-hmm.
Which Batman are we talking about?
Adam West.
No, I mean,
Adam West.
We're talking about comic shit Batman. Out of him.
Okay. Wow.
Adam West is like 85.
Yeah. I'm Adam
still,
Wee.
You can take Ben Affleck, though. Just saying.
Oh, yeah, guaranteed. Like, 85-year-old Adam West could certainly take Ben Affleck.
You two are fucking assholes. You leave Ben Affleck alone. Ben Affleck's
an asshole.
What?
I said it.
Oh, Drew.
Did you see the Devil movie?
I did. It was not bad.
Not bad?
It was not bad. For where we were in the development of superhero movies, it was not that bad.
But it was.
It is now, but at the time it wasn't.
I don't know. I thought it was bad.
You ever watch the extended cut of it?
No, because it sucked in the theater, so why would I pay money to see it again?
Oh, shit. Fucking Drew over here. Wow.
Just saying.
I mean, you know what? Let me get a hard figure here in front of you.
Whoa. Let's just turn that video off.
Just my penis. Don't worry. Don't be alarmed, ladies. Daredevil the movie. Budget of $78 million. At the box office, grossed $179 million.
Okay.
That's not a shitty movie.
No, it is.
Oh, you're killing me. Fucking, I mean, listen to the names in it. Ben Affleck, Jennifer Garner, Michael Clark Duncan, Colin Farrell, Joe Pantoliano, John Favreau, for Christ's sake.
Yeah.
Mostly good actors.
And this story was based on Daredevil, The Man Without Fear by Frank Miller.
Uh-huh.
Okay, that's pretty cool.
I mean, let's not split hairs here. This is good shit.
Just because a movie makes money doesn't mean it's a good movie.
Yeah, let's look at Miley Cyrus.
Boom.
Her movies don't make money.
Well, I'm saying Miley Cyrus herself is like pulling in tons of money.
Because she is a smart marketer.
At like having a putting on a shitty persona.
Yeah. Worked, didn't it? She's laughing all the way to the bank. Because here we are, fucking three guys that are completely disinterested in her and her music talking about her on a podcast.
So you're agreeing that... Yeah,
a podcast that reaches literally dozens
We're talking
years.
About Daredevil 2.
Yeah. Anyway, fuck it. Who wins, yeah. Drew?
My opinion, and as much as it kills me to say this because I hate Batman, I think Batman wins the fight.
So Ben Affleck Batman beats Ben Affleck Daredevil?
Yes.
Okay. Dustin, your vote.
Man, does it have to be Ben Affleck Daredevil? it does, doesn't it? Shit. I'm still going to say Daredevil, just for the sheer tension of the situation.
All right, hang on here. Let me get a third party. Natalie, in a fight between Ben Affleck Daredevil and Ben Affleck Batman, who would win? My God, that look on your face is amazing. You look so confused. Natalie votes Batman. Dustin, you were outvoted. Fuck. I apologize.
Damn it, Natalie. Tell Natalie I'm not doing a Glee cast with her.
Okay, I'll tell her. Hey, Natalie, Dustin's not going to sleep with you anymore. Oh, darn.
Oh, I was thinking she would quickly change her answer to Daredevil.
Oh, such is the sway of your penis over my wife. Listen, gentlemen, we're here today to talk about something, so let's do it. Let's talk about the Lord of the Rings, because we got the fucking Hobbit out.
That sounds dirty.
What now? What's going on with the Hobbit? What?
The Hobbit 2.
Yep.
Right.
Second movie's coming out.
It's coming out. It's Friday. Not out yet. Right, right.
It comes out this week.
Yes.
Fun fact, I just watched the original Hobbit. Not the original cartoon Hobbit, but the first Hobbit.
It's like, a good movie, isn't it?
I watched it like last week.
It's a good flick.
It is actually, I personally like The Hobbit better than all three Lord of the Rings movies.
Really?
Well, we're not here to talk about The Hobbit. We're actually here to talk about the Lord of the Rings movies.
Well, they suck compared to The Hobbit.
Well, fuck those guys. Screw you guys. I'm going home.
Let me throw in my opinion here. and we can get to talking about Lord of the Rings, but like, I think the Hobbit movie had a lot more, like, just a lot more comedy in it for me.
The story is written for a much younger audience.
And probably that's why I appreciated it more, because I have the mind of a 10-year-old.
A 10-year-old with a big dick.
Jesus Christ.
Sorry, inside joke. Brenton will laugh at that one.
Yes. Oh, yeah. It's tightly fit inside joke.
Mm.
Britton says that's what she said.
Moving on.
Okay. So, no, it just, I think maybe, like, it wasn't as largely produced as the Lord of the Rings movies. It didn't seem like it had, like, the vast, well, I mean, it had a few vast, like, landscapes, but it seemed like it was very toned down or watered down compared to the other movies.
And I think there's an element of that is that they, you know, the Lord of the Rings movies, each book became a movie. Mm-hmm. And with The Hobbit, they're taking one book and stretching it into three movies.
Mm-hmm.
You know, at first it was just going to be one, and then they filmed it, and they were like, it'll be way too long, so let's make it two. And then, like, mm-hmm. fuck it, let's film some more things and make three.
Right, right.
So here we are.
Yeah.
I'm certainly looking forward to the second one. But Lord of the Rings, tell me about it.
Well, hey, I just want to point out, too, in the second one, do you know who the voice of Smaug is?
It's John Hurt, right?
No.
No?
No, who is it?
Cumberbatch.
Cumberbatch.
It's Khan.
No way.
Yeah.
Huh. Awesome.
Khan's going to be a dragon man. Just so that
Looking
was cool.
Looking forward to it.
It'll be fun.
You know
okay,
who else
Lord
was
a
dragon?
Who?
Sean Connery.
Mm.
And did you know that that was Picard's debut?
That was Patrick Stewart's debut.
Yes,
and
it was.
No, it wasn't.
You just said it.
No, I... Oh, man. Did you just fucking Bugs Bunny me?
I did. Yes.
You Bugs Bunnied me, you son of a bitch.
Oh, man.
It's
can't wait
duck
to
season,
take that clip.
Rabbit season. Can't... Duck season. Rabbit season.
Rabbit season. Duck season. Okay. So I'm going to take that clip and put it in every single episode of every show we do.
Dumbass, you're not recording this.
Well, I can still, when it comes out, I can download it and clip
okay,
it out.
Okay, you go ahead and do that.
Science.
That is not science at all.
Everything is science if you look at it the right direction.
Jesus is science?
Yeah, he certainly is. Well, science sprinkled with magic. Tell me about Lord of the Rings.
In which there is no science.
No.
Lord of the Rings. Drew, what kind of a Lord of the Rings fan are you?
I am, I guess you would designate me as a Lord of the Rings purist.
So you're a book guy.
I am a book guy. I read the books when I was a kid. I loved all of them. They were great. And
Tom Bombadil's a pussy.
He is.
Oh, I was just trying to offend you. Damn it.
Nope.
Okay. Sorry.
Nope, he is, but he still should have been in the movies.
Yeah. Okay, I'll give you that.
All right. Now, saying that I'm a purist, the other thing is I do understand. I'm not one of those that thinks they should have done a scene-for-scene remake book to movie, because that would be boring.
Like, do you agree that some of the big changes from the books to the movie, and now, Dustin, you've seen all three Lord of the Rings movies? Dustin?
Sorry, Brenton was saying goodbye.
Oh, goodbye, Brenton. Dustin, have you seen all three Lord of the Rings movies?
I have seen all three Lord of the Rings movies.
Okay. The battle with Shelob, mm-hmm, the fucking giant tarantula.
Yeah.
But that happens in the first book. Do you agree that that's a good opening climax, or not opening climax, just opening action sequence for the third movie?
It didn't happen in the first book. It was in the second.
Bullshit.
Yeah?
I call bullshit. I might be wrong, though, so keep talking.
You're wrong. I'm telling you, you're wrong. But, yeah, it's a good way to start. Because it draws you straight into the storyline as far as the movie's concerned. Because when you look at the first movie, you know, Fellowship, you know, it starts off with all the hobbits dancing around and partying. And you
getting
don't get
drunk, bitch.
Yeah, I mean, which is fun to watch midgets get drunk. But end of the day, you know, it takes, probably a good hour into the movie before there's a fight scene. You know, which is what people want to see in an epic fantasy adventure movie. You want to see sword fights. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, going in and kicking off that way, I think, was a nice change of pace to start the third.
Okay. What about the exclusion of all the sharky stuff at the end?
Yeah, that I really wanted to see that. I understand, you know, the big thing when it came out with the third movie was, you know, oh, there were seven endings to the movie or whatever. You know, I heard that one thrown out there a lot. But if you actually read the book, you know, and then you read all the stuff with, you know, them going back and retaking the Shire and all that stuff, it's you know, you're like, yeah, there were, but could have been more. But I had hoped for the director's cut when it was brought out that they would have had something with that.
But it turns out that Peter Jackson hated that part of the books.
I guess
that's what he said in interviews.
Is that what it was? Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He always felt that was out of place.
Yeah. I can see that, but
God damn it was the Two Towers. Son of a bitch.
Yep, suck it.
Motherfucker. Shit. Well, anyway. Dustin, were you aware that when Lord of the Rings when the Return of the King ends, that the book carries on for like another 5 fucking years?
I was not aware.
Yep.
When the four hobbits get back to Hobbiton, it's actually overrun with orcs, and they're all led by Saruman,
mm-hmm.
whom the orcs they call him Sharky, which he thought it meant that he was shark-like, like, you know, a predator, but it's actually the orc tongue for old man.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
Kind of fun.
So, do they just not have the screen time to put it in, to put all that in?
No, literally Peter Jackson hated that part of the book. Wow. And decided that it didn't need to be there. Like, you already talk about, when you talk about the Return of the King, you've seen the sequence in Clerks 2 where Randall talks about that the movie should have ended at the logical closing point.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that there's, like, literally 6 endings to the movie, and that would have just been another one.
Right.
Yeah.
So I don't know about that for purists out there, but it definitely does add something to the storytelling, I think.
Yeah, because you get back, and then they, you know, your four hobbits that went on this journey, they come back and then they stir all these peaceful hobbits that have been basically enslaved into a riot.
Yeah. There's like little hobbit concentration camps.
Yeah.
And but the gas chambers are only like 5 feet tall.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Get it. Okay. Sorry.
Yeah. So it's a pretty awesome.
That was a hobbit cost joke.
Hobbit cost.
Anybody?
Nice. I like the second part of that a lot better than the first part.
Good follow-up. Thank you, Matt.
Yes.
Drew, continue.
It was short and sweet.
Short and sweet. I love it. I love it.
We're getting into kind of hairy territory here.
You son of a bitch. You did it again. Drew, keep talking.
Yeah, so other than that, I did enjoy all the movies. I thought they were very well made. They were entertaining movies. I thought there were things that could have been done that were in the book, like that they could have left in there, and it would have made the movies better. But overall, I enjoyed them. The first Hobbit, you know, the first movie in the Hobbit series, I did not like.
Oh, okay. What took you away from the Hobbit?
My biggest thing with that is, because I am a purist, there are certain things that they did that bothered me. They added characters to the story. They added stories. The biggest examples I have is the albino orc with the metal hook claw hand doesn't exist in the books.
But do you agree that when you transfer a book to a visual medium that you have to have the massive horde of orcs? They had to make them stand out somehow.
Right, but he didn't exist. That's the thing.
But there were orcs chasing them, right?
Yeah, there were orcs chasing them, which
and there was an orc in charge.
Well.
Would it stand to reason that the orcs had some kind of hierarchy?
There somebody else in the storyline in the books that would have made been okay in that position?
No, the only authoritative character on the bad guys side in the books was the Goblin King, which he gets killed by Gandalf, not by falling down some giant pit during a chase scene in the book. He would be the only one that would have been in a position to, like, you know, command everybody. Mm-hmm. yeah, when they leave, they have, you know, it's just, you know, the warg riders, you know, the big wolf creatures mm-hmm. are chasing them out of the mines and down, and they go up in the trees that they light on fire and mm-hmm. that whole thing.
And then they do like the domino tree thing.
Right. They don't even do the domino tree. Mm-hmm. They're up in the tops of the trees and the eagles come and pick them out of it and carry them away.
Okay.
So what about the Oakenshield and his whole rivalry with that orc? Well, see, honestly, not having read the books and watching the movie, I thought that tension and those scenes I think just to a viewer, they were very good scenes.
They were. I'm not arguing that.
Yeah, I think most of the changes were cosmetic for the transfer to visual medium.
Mm. And I understand that. I appreciate that, you know, you got to do something to spice the story up, but especially when you're cutting one book into three movies, you've got to add something. I get that. Just on an intellectual level, it bothers me that they added this whole character and this rivalry. Mm-hmm. And then even the thing where how Thorin Oakenshield gets his last name, you know, they have this cutout flashback scene where he's in this big battle
and he picks a tree stump, a
piece of tree stump, and uses it as a shield. Again, never happened. It was a family name, Oakenshield. So again, you know, it's like, there were so many things like that. And then just overall in the movie, there were too many turn to the camera and make a big emotional speech scenes in The Hobbit. I don't know if anybody else picked up on that, but it seemed like every half hour there was a, well, I'm just a simple hobbit and I don't know much about great battles, but blah, 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 blah. You know, I don't know. That's just my take on them.
Okay. Being that you're a purist, I can see how those big changes to the story or additions to the story would make it kind of an uncomfortable transition into movies.
Yeah.
Now, follow me on this one. Fellowship of the Ring, the book, came out in 1954.
Mm-hmm.
But The Hobbit came out in 1937. These have been around for a long time. I remember my mom telling me how she had read The Hobbit when she was a child, but I never got into it. I always read like Dragonlance and Forgotten Realms and shit like that.
I actually, for an English class in like the seventh or eighth grade, had to read The Hobbit, and we watched the movie as well, the cartoon.
Yeah, classic. Yep.
Now that these movies are coming out, I'm kind of glad that I had, you know, been a part of that, you know, in my younger days. Not to say that I've read the whole book, because I don't think I've ever legitimately, for a school project, read a whole novel. I read the first couple chapters, the middle couple chapters, and the last couple chapters.
But they were exciting.
They were so exciting.
That's funny, but, dude.
Yeah, and then, like, of course, I would try and watch the movie, and it was interesting back then. I'm glad to see that they adapted it for a bigger screen.
Well, what I was trying to get to here now, so I never got into them, but when the movies came out, I waited till after I'd seen Return of the King, and then I went and bought the books and read them.
Okay.
And at the time that I bought the books, I bought The Hobbit as well, but I still haven't read it yet. So I'm kind of waiting until this trilogy's over, and then I'm going to read the book finally.
Okay.
So I don't know. Do you think that's a good thing to do, Drew? I don't want the view to taint me, because it worked out so well with Lord of the Rings for me. So like, I appreciated the movie, and then I got to appreciate the literature.
Okay. Yeah, it's an interesting way to do things. I haven't heard of anyone doing it that way, because again, usually the books are always out first. Well, not usually, they always are.
Yeah. I mean, there's the rare occasion of like The Lost World, where the book came out like 6 months before the movie did.
Right. Or they novelized like Godzilla, you know, stuff like that. But
I read that novel. That was okay. I'm just kidding. You ever read Harry Potter, Drew?
Yes, all seven of them, man.
Yeah. And so like every time a new Harry Potter movie would come out, we'd go watch it and we'd be like, well, it was missing this, this, and this. It was still a good movie, don't get me wrong, but it was missing this, this, and this.
I would argue that on some of them.
But what I'm saying is, like, so I don't have that pressure
right now. And that's it's good, because it would make it easier to enjoy the movies for what they are.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I'm it's kind of one of those, like, I want to go see this. I am going to go see Desolation of Smog. I'm going to, but it's like, I know going in that I'm probably going to be disappointed with some of the stuff that they've done.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so
see, it, and look it at does, that. Are you going to go see it in theaters?
Oh, absolutely.
See, you're going to pay money to go in and know you're going to be disappointed at something.
Yeah, because watching it in a theater is an experience. I mean, that's just a whole nother thing.
Yeah, that's true.
I can wait for it to come out and I can watch it at home on my TV and it'll be fine. But, you know, going to a theater, watching it in a crowd is a whole different experience. And I enjoy that. So that's why I go watch them in theaters, even if I know that it's like when I went to see Snakes on a Plane. I knew it was going to suck, but I went anyway.
Yeah. Get these motherfucking hobbits off my motherfucking plane. Dustin, I think when because, you know, I'm cheap. I believe when it gets to the $1.50 theater, we'll have to do another brothel night at the movies. What do you think?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Fucking A.
Wasn't there one that's supposed to we're going to go see? Was it Thor 2?
When it comes to... We could do that. I'd be fine with it.
Okay. Yeah, the next big movie that comes to the Dollar Theater, we'll go check it out.
Yeah, we'll set up an event for everybody, guys. Gentlemen, I feel like I'm cutting the conversation short, but I literally have to go and log into my online class. So...
Well, gotta have your priorities.
Yeah, fucking being a grown-up sucks. Drew, thank you for coming back and talking about Lord of the Rings. I know we didn't get into it too deeply today. Maybe we could two-parter this one. I don't know.
I'd be up for it.
Yeah, maybe we can keep Drew. We can get together and talk again this weekend and finish up with a little Lord of the Rings chat. What do you think there, Dustin?
Yeah, that'll be fun.
All right, then that's a date, gentlemen. We'll set up something this weekend and we'll all get on the Skypes and do some talkity talks.
Hey, Matt.
Hey, Dustin.
What is Doc Ock's favorite month?
October?
It is. October. O-C-K-T-O-B-E-R.
See, it's not that was a bad joke. It's just that, like, that was fucking blatantly obvious.
Yeah.
Maybe
okay, you're like... how does Batman's mother call him to dinner? Dinner, 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 Batman.
I was going to say she's fucking dead, so I don't know.
She calls him to dinner with sadness.
Here's how she calls him to dinner. Ready? Brains. Brains. Hey, you know what?
What?
This website won't load. Damn it. Oh, there we go. Knock, knock.
Who's there?
Hobbit.
Hobbit who?
Hobbit letting me in?
Oh.
I kind of like it.
Why are you laughing so hard?
Because it's so funny.
What did the drunken hobbit say when he bumped into the wizard?
I don't know what.
Sorry, man, I didn't see you there. How'd the Hobbit ruin the wrestling match?
How?
He tried to destroy the ring. All right. More Hobbit thank jokes you. Next week here at the brothel. We'll see you Tuesday for or Wednesday for our reaction to Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. We'll have a Battlestar Galactica review on Thursday. Go to Follow Network's page. Go to www.followthe.tv. We have a ton of things for you to listen to. We have Music to Your Ears by my awesome wife, Natalie. We have Instant Film Review, Mad Chat. We have the Heel Angle podcast, a new pod in our Follow Network's family by Dustin. Dustin, what's your show about?
It's about, like, wrestling and stuff.
It's about, like, wrestling and stuff.
It's about the Stone Cold Steve fucking Austin.
Hey, Dustin, what's what? Gollum's favorite bird?
What?
It's a Smeagol.
Wow.
Yeah. It's good stuff.
I gotta add this website to my favorites.
So you can, like, have coffee in the morning and just, like...
giggle to myself? Yeah.
Right.
All right, guys. Thank you so much, and we'll see you next week. YouTube.com/followNetworks.
See you, Drew.
Bye.